You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM, where we are proud to announce that we will be airing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every single week. Hello, and welcome to the Thunderbolt for October 18th, 2024. I've got another blast from the past for you this week, and this week is kind of special. This week's archive show originally aired on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017, a day that will live in infamy. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment, but first, we have exciting news from our brand new sponsor for those of you who want to Copophilia.
Coming this fall from all three networks, it's Copophilia, yet another searing drama about Americans' crazy, doomed, but unending love affair with cops. James Franco stars as Officer Lou Stiggy Stiglitz, yet another bipolar, sociopathic, trigger-happy, but always endearing cop who strews bullet-riddled corpses, ruined lives, and routine injustices in his wake the way a snake sheds skins, and always comes out smelling like an endearingly battered, week-old rose.
It is January 20th, 2017, meaning that this week, the Thunderbolt happens to be striking on Inauguration Day. Yes, kids, today a Nazi clown and his army of Wall Street shysters, militarists, misogynists, religious fanatics, and climate deniers, not to mention white supremacists, are taking the reins of power. Rex Tillerson, for Secretary of State, Jeff Sessions, for Attorney General, Mad Dog Mattis for Secretary of Defense. Now rocking with the Anarchy. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Rick Frigging Perry to head the Department of Energy. Don't freak out. Ben Frigging Carson for Secretary of HUD. Betsy Frigging DeVos for Secretary of Education.
Do not freak out.
Actually, maybe you should freak out.
What happened? Are you okay?
He slimed me.
That's great.
Welcome to Slime City.
I suspect that we are about to be inundated by a tsunami of shite that is about to strike a truly monumental fan.
Good evening.
And I suspect that it is time.
This is your captain.
For everyone to either put up.
We are about to attempt a crash landing.
Or to shut up.
Please extinguish all cigarettes. Place your tray tables in their upright lock position. Your captain says, put your head on your knee. Your head in your hands. Captain says, put your hands on your head, put your hands on your hips. This is your captain.
For one thing,
we are going down. We are we're all going down together.
If we don't fix this now,
and I said,
then you will continue
someday
to be subjected to my torturous metaphors.
This is the time. And this is the record of the time. This is the time. And this is the record of the time.
Crisis approacheth, and soon it will be time to either defecate or get off the pot. See, what did I tell you about my metaphors?
This is your captain again. You know, I've got this funny feeling I've seen this all before. Why? Because I'm a caveman. Why? Because I've got eyes in the back of my head. Why? It's the heat. Stand by. This is the time. And this is the record of the time. This is the time. And this is the record of the time.
According to St. Pete for Peace, if you can get 3%
your hands
of any given population,
your eyes
out onto the streets at any given time,
jump out of the plane,
then you own that place.
There is no
there are a little over 320 million Americans. That means all that we need to do is to get about 9.6 million of us to all stand up together and all at once just say no. So everyone is freaking out about the current political situation. Well, I say it's about damn time. Yes, the rump has barely started, and already he is affirming my prognostication that he is going to be even worse than everyone was already expecting him to be. The rump's people are already compiling an enemies list in the Department of Energy, consisting of anyone that ever had so much as a warm, fuzzy feeling for climate change. And they are almost surely doing this with a massive purge of said Department of Energy in mind. Everyone is also freaking out about the rump nominating the CEO of ExxonMobil to be the Secretary of State. But ExxonMobil has been in charge of American foreign policy since the 1930s anyway. So why not just cut out the middleman and put
Exxon directly in charge. And get this. People are not freaking out because this guy is the head of the one organization that is more responsible than any other for leading humanity over the cliff. This, in addition to simply being one of the most evil entities in human history. People are freaking out because this guy is a friend of Vladimir Putin. I shite you not. In an addition, the Rump wants to place a white supremacist in charge of the Department of Justice. And he wants to put a Bundy sympathizer in charge of the Department of Interior. So with these appointments, the Rump is doing the equivalent of putting a child rapist in charge of the orphanage, an arsonist in charge of the fire department, an animal torturer in charge of the dog pound, or putting Sarah Palin in charge of anything more influential than a TV remote control. And all of this means that everyone will soon be freaking out even more. It's about time. I would suggest that Americans needed a good, healthy freak-out. During the 8 years that the left was hypnotized by the Obamas, the police state continued unhindered. The wars and the war crimes continued. Wall Street's looting of our treasury continued. The President of the United States, who is a constitutional scholar, just to make the irony more complete, not only claimed that he could legally execute Americans without a trial, but he subsequently did so several times. And he was not only not impeached, but he did not even suffer all that much political blowback. Evidently, liberals feel that the police states and war crimes and running everything for the benefit of the 1% is acceptable as long as a charismatic Democrat is doing it. These things are evidently only bad when George Bush or the Rump do them. Now, I have spent the vast majority of my adult life traveling the highways, byways, and college towns of North America. And I've seen firsthand the unique brand of normalized insanity that permeates our American bubble world outside of Olympia. And I think that a lot of people are finally opening their eyes to the fact that the inmates have been running their asylum and that their deadly brand of lunacy is contagious.
Imaginos, a bedtime story for the children of the damned. From a dream world paralleling our Earth, in time and space, the Invisible Ones have sent an agent who will dream the dream of history. With limitless power, he becomes the greatest actor of the 19th century. Taking on many disguises, he places himself at pivotal junctures in history, continually altering its course and testing our ability to respond to the challenge of evil. His name is Imaginos.
White supremacy and American exceptionalism saturate our culture. There is not nearly so much of it here in our neighborhood as there is in most other parts of the country. But there's a lot more around here than I suspect that most Olympians suspect.
Economics is a catechism coming down. It's the hard word in this town. I bet it hit the books.
Of American exceptionalism is an extension of the manifest destiny doctrine of the 19th century that was used to justify the genocidal slaughter of the indigenous population of North America. These doctrines state that since white people of the United States are the greatest force for good in the world, then they can justify doing things that they don't allow other people to do. Such as conducting genocidal slaughters and launching wars of imperial aggression, for instance. And evidently, the rump is now going to bestow exceptionalism upon his own presidency. He is saying that since we now have such an exceptional president, then this means that he can do things that other presidents could not do. For instance, the rump recently stated, since that he isn't like other presidents, then we don't need so much freedom of the press anymore. Now that should seriously freak you out. I sincerely hope that it does, in fact. In fact, I would say it's about time. And now it is time to shelve the rubbing alcohol and down a dose of Geritol. Because the toothless old grandpa himself is here to take us away. Hey, Grandpa. So, we have not heard from you since last year. Yes, I found me a 20-year-old hottie, and we disappeared to an undisclosed location and had us a good time. Well, Grandpa, you sly old dog, you. Yes, I figure I am going to hang out on this world until I'm around 108 years old. Maybe 109, depending on how things is going. And then when I do go, I plan to die from a heart attack induced by having sexual relations with a 20-year-old woman. Just sort of start building up towards rapture. And then when I get there, just keep on a-going. Well, yes, if you've got to go, I can definitely think of worse ways. Though I'm thinking the lady might find that a little upsetting. But that means we're going to have you around for a while longer to bestow your wisdom upon us. And that is a good thing. So what do you have for us this week, Grandpa?
Well, let me tell you all about it. You recently referred to the Republican Party as a herd of dying dinosaurs. Since the Republicans just knocked the crap out of the Democrats in the last election, and considering that their new champion is being sworn in as president right now at this very moment, even as I am speaking, this could be taken as evidence of a flawed theory. But I also distinctly remember that you warned us at the time that dangerous predators are the most treacherous when cornered or trapped, and that the Republicans could still do significant damage whilst thrashing about in those death throes. And I am convinced that that is exactly what we are seeing right frigging now.
There's a tardy hearse with a body in the back, and the mourners are standing in the pouring rain. I'll make you a bet, Father, get you 10. That boy won't beat that light on Maine.
Ah! Just as the most corrupt president in American history is about to take office, in a move that has outraged pretty much everyone on the left and the right, the very first act of the newest version of the House of Representatives was to gut the office of congressional ethics.
This is Hardy Hearst with a body in the back, and the mortars are standing in the pouring rain. I'll make you a bed, son, I'll get you 10. That boy won't beat that light all day. There's a cranky priest checking his watch, got a couple more to preach today. And the winner in the street just stamping her feet, shouting things a winner ought to say.
I know your folks, your daddy went to school with mine. I seem to recollect he died in 89.
Anyway, here it comes to the right on fence, running all the sides. He should behave, it makes you think he might kill more, trying to get that body to the grave.
Evidently, the Republicans know full well where their weak spot is. Every time I think that they cannot surprise me anymore, then they do it again. Someone needs to create some kind of Chutzpa of the Year award or something.
He said he didn't care. We could bury him there in the hills with a shovel and a prayer. Tune up all your rusty strings. Let every Christian sing. I'm gonna dance when I go to meet my king. That brought tears to her eyes. She said it wasn't civilized. Man should stick around even when he dies. I'd rather bury you in town and see your body lower down with a wooden marker are sticking in the ground.
Honk, honk, honk. Foreign leaders are falling all over themselves, trying to shower money all over the rump in their efforts to purchase influence with him. So I would suggest that ultimately humanity should probably rejoice at the election of the rump. I would suggest that a President Rump is going to throw a hand grenade right into the middle of the Republican machine, thus further exacerbating its disintegration and thus quickening its ultimate demise.
It's Tardy Hearst with a body in the back, and the warders are shouting and cheering and laud. A feller could make a tidy haul, fat boy don't make it to the lawn. The man in black must be his boss, I bet that there'll be hell to pay. Driver in the hearse with a body in the back, won't live to drive another day.
He got a body back across the county line, 10 minutes flat, I wonder if he'll beat that time.
Get your shovels out, dig another hole, we got another one to plant today. For the driver in the hearse with a body in the back, just hit that winner in the way.
After a massive bipartisan outcry, the House Republicans blinked and did not gut the Office of Congressional Ethics after all. At least not yet. Well done, Grandpa.
The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. As bad as the rump is, though, it is always good to keep in mind that it is not the rump that is our problem, so much as the people hidden behind the curtain that you rarely, if ever, hear about. One fact that is virtually never acknowledged about the Spanish conquistadors is that every last one of them arrived in the Americas in debt up to their ears. Their utterly savage desperation to steal anything and everything of value that could be loaded onto a ship were inspired largely by efforts to pay off these debts. Everyone has heard of Hernando Cortez, but who has ever heard of the bankers that drove Cortez to do what he did and who greatly profited by what Cortez did? Everyone has heard of the Napoleonic Wars, the Opium Wars, the Crimean War, the Boxer Rebellion, and all of the world wars of the 20th century. But who has ever heard of the banksters that financed both sides to fight all of these wars and who then turned around and sold both sides the weapons to butcher each other with? Now, I have nominated the Dulles Brothers for the Thunderbolts Most Evil Human in History Award, yet virtually no one has ever heard of either of them. And even fewer have ever heard of Edward Bernays, the father of the great American propaganda machine. Yes, Hillary Clinton,
the Rump, the old bomber. All of these people are merely lackeys to the true enemy that hides in the shadows and of whom you have probably never heard. There is a most excellent website where you can go research who these people are and you can see how they are all interconnected in an incestuous little web of corrupt influence peddling that is a source for a wide variety of most heinous and evil stuff that is going on in the world right now. The website is theyrule.net. But be careful. You can easily get lost in there. So now it is time for some people to
take a ride, take a ride.
As I predicted, landlords across the country are using the ghost ship fire in Oakland as an excuse to shut down alternative living and performance spaces. In many cases, this is being done out of fear. In many more cases, though, they are doing it because it is a highly profitable thing for them to do. And it is a thing that they could not have gotten away with doing before the ghost ship tragedy. Spaces are more common than I suspect most Americans suspect.
Take a ride, take a ride.
I'm standing on the moon, grooving to Jenny's spoon. I want to bring to thee dreams of reality. I wanna take you high, me floating in the sky. I wanted you to see dreams of reality.
Several such spaces right here in Olympia that I personally know of. And while I feel a kinship with those folks, and while I wholeheartedly support what they are doing, I don't really directly interact with that world all that much. So I suspect there is much more going on there than even I suspect. I personally consider such spaces to be absolutely vital to what still passes for culture in this society. Art is a reflection of a culture's soul. And if your culture does not have a soul, then your art, or the lack of same, will reflect that as well. Unfortunately, capitalists place no value upon souls, except for how they might be manipulated to produce profit, and overall, souls are considered to be a rather risky financial investment. As a break from the constant gloom and doom, we are going to end this week's show with a rather light-hearted historical piece set right here in the Pacific Northwest. Did you know that in 1859, 1 year before the Civil War, the shooting of a pig on San Juan Island almost precipitated a shooting war between the United States and Great Britain? Yes, the Oregon Treaty of 1846 established the borders between the United States and British Canada everywhere except the San Juan Islands. Both sides claimed them, and neither side was willing to back down. So the negotiations continued for 13 years until an American squatter on San Juan Island shot a pig that was rooting in his vegetable garden. So it turned out that this pig belonged to an employee of the Hudson Bay Company. A feud developed, and British authorities threatened to arrest the American, which led to an appeal to the American government from all of the other Americans on the island to be protected. Whereupon the Americans sent the 9th Infantry to prevent any British landings on San Juan Island. And in a side note, these American forces were commanded by Captain George Pickett, who was destined to become the very same Confederate General George Pickett, who would lead the infamous Pickett's Charge at the Battle of Gettysburg, which most historians consider to have been the turning point of the Battle of Gettysburg, and most historians consider the Battle of Gettysburg itself to have been the turning point of the entire Civil War. And, in a side note within a side note, it so happens that I attended elementary school with the great-great-great-grandson of General Pickett. His name was Martin Pickett, and he was very good at soccer. Now, anyway, by August 10th of 1859, 461 Americans with 14 cannons faced 5 British warships with 70 guns and 2,140 troops. But fortunately, the orders on both sides were to defend themselves, but they were also ordered absolutely and positively not to fire the first shot. And thus, for several days, both sides taunted and tried to goad the other into attacking. But neither side ever did. So when officials in Washington, D.C. and London learned of the possibility that military hostilities might be launched over a frigging pig, they said WTF or something along those lines. They immediately sent negotiators. These negotiators first agreed to jointly occupy San Juan Island until they could reach a settlement. The British set up a camp on the north shore, and the Americans set up shop on the south end. This arrangement lasted for 12 more years, and a bipartisan friendship eventually developed between the occupants of the two camps. They visited each other to celebrate their respective national holidays. They held various athletic competitions. And park rangers these days will tell visitors that the biggest threat to peace on the island during those years was, quote, the large amounts of alcohol that were available. Both sides finally agreed to allow Kaiser Wilhelm I of Germany to arbitrate the dispute. And Kaiser Wilhelm decided in favor of the Americans. Is why the San Juan Islands are now a part of the United States rather than part of Canada. The British finally withdrew from San Juan Island on November 25th, 1872. And thus ended the infamous Pig War.
It is time to get to work. Now.
All right. That's it for the news and commentary section this week. Going to fill out the hour with some music with one of my favorite vocalists I've ever heard. This is Kate Bush.
I still dream of Organon. I wake up crying. Thank you.
That was Wuthering Heights, and before that we had Cloud Bursting, both of those tunes from Kate Bush. And I should mention once again, the views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
And I say this on Free Radio Olympia, even though I don't need to, because I need to say it on the other shows, and I don't make a special show for this. Anyway, that's it.
Thank you very much.